listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
And then you hear what you say is an audible voice.
Well, it wasn't an audible voice, but it couldn't have been any clearer.
Any clearer.
Had it been an audible voice, it almost sounded like it was.
Yes, you're going to be a pastor.
Yeah, yeah. And so I started preparing. I went to a community college and got history, English, and literature and the things that I could transfer to a Bible college because it was cheaper, of course.
Yeah. And where'd you go to Bible college?
Lakeland Southeastern Bible College. Now it's a university. Okay. Southeastern University. And so I went there and transferred my credits to Lakeland, to the college, and I graduated early because I went summers and everything, you know, through. I wanted to get to it, you know. Mm. And so about the end of my time there, they offered a master's degree first time. I said, well, I might as well get that while I'm here. And I signed up for it, and right at the last moment, they said, well, it's not going to go through this year. And I'd been called by a church over in Vero Beach to come and preach because their pastor wasn't there.
Yeah. And what kind of a church?
It was Central Assembly.
Oh.
Yeah, Assembly of God. And so I came over and preached. Well, the next week they called me again and said, can you come back over because the pastor had gone somewhere, you know, to try out, and they didn't know it, and they voted him in. Oh. So he took a church somewhere else. And so they was without a pastor, and so I filled in a few Sundays.
So you were the interim pastor?
Well, sort of, but it was just like on a week-by-week basis. They'd call you. And then they tried somebody out, and they didn't like him. So they called me back over there, and I said, you know, are you interested in having a pastor or not? And I said, because I've got I was going to church over in Winter Haven.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a vagrant church, you know. People from, you know, orange pickers and all came there. Guys that were on the street came there. And I loved doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And so I said,
your hearts were the downtrodden.
Yeah. And so I said, if you're interested, fine. If you're not, I said, I'm not coming back because I got a church over here I'm dealing with. And they said, no, we're interested. We just don't have any money. I said, well, I didn't ask you that. Because I was a welder, and I welded all the way through the time. And I was making about $800, $900 a week because I worked at night.
A lot back then.
Yeah, that's a lot now.
Yeah.
But I'd work all night, and the guy let me off about 4:30 in the morning, and because we're working 7 to 7. And so I'd go home and get a couple hours sleep, and I'd have 7:30 classes. And I'd work all day, and then that night I'd go back to work. And so by the time, I didn't get VA benefits because I got kicked out. And so I had to pay my college.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And so I paid my way through, and at the end of it, I had money in the bank, paid everything off, you know, when I graduated. But they didn't have the master's program that year, and so I was planning on doing that, but then they called me, you know, they said, we'd like to have you, pastor.
Well, did they offer you some sort of a salary?
Yeah, they offered me 50% of the tithe, which our first check was about $100, and that was actually about $80, and then another $120, you know. But that's the way it went, you know. But like I said, we had a little bit of money, you know, saved up, and so I didn't care. I mean, I just wanted to do it.
Well, I remember those days myself when I went and sang at this big concert, and they gave me $61.
Yep, yeah.
Enough to pay for gas.
Yep, but like I said, I wasn't in it for the money, because before I left for Bible college, I was offered two jobs. And one was Scott Paper Company in Mobile as a junior erector, you know.
Ooh.
And I'd be in charge of all the building they did, you know. That raised me up to be. And it was big money, big money, more than a Walmart could make. And they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I said, the business agent called me and said, I got you a job, you know. He said, it's a great deal. And I said, I'm going to be a preacher. He said, what? He says, you don't understand what this job is. And I said, yeah, I do. I said, I got a higher calling. And so I turned it down. Another guy said, I'm going to a job where you work 12 hours a day. It's going to be 6 months long. You'll be able to pay your whole college, but if you'll just go and work with me on that. And
why work for that which you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose?
Yeah.
Remember that missionary that said that, and then he got spearheaded, killed?
Yeah. But the fact is, he was right. I said, but I know myself.
Yeah.
I have a bigger truck, a bigger boat, and more clothes. And I won't save that money. I said, the Lord's called me now. I got to go now. So I went down to Lakeland with $300 in my pocket.
Wow.
And no job.
Wow.
And, you know, and
So you came to Vero Beach.
Yeah.
Took the job.
I took the job. And the church started growing. You know, I got to work on it. And
that was where the Theater Guild is now, right?
We had about 30 people.
Wow.
At the most, and on a good Sunday, and so it started growing, and before long, you know, we was running, you know, 70 people, 100 people, and so we built on one end of the building. It was 35 by 75 was the building. It had everything in it. Mm-hmm. You know, that was an auditorium, children's church, and a kitchen, all that. So it wasn't very big.
Mm-hmm.
And so we added on one end of it for a fellowship hall.
Yep.
We moved into that, you know, and then subdivided the building for Sunday school classes. And then we built on the other end for an auditorium. And so after a while, we maxed that out and decided, well, we need to build again. And I wanted to build right there, but... Glenn Strunk told me, he says, yeah, you don't want to build here, you know, and for a reason, you know. And that's okay. And then somebody else came along. Oh, yeah, yeah. The John Dean, you might remember him.
I remember.
He was an architect.
Nice guy.
I said, John, draw me up some things that we can make this building not look like it's put together, you know, with two pieces but one. And he said, okay. And so he drew me up three pictures, you know. And the first one, he said, now, don't disregard the first one. It was a big piece of architectural paper said, relocate. I said, I can't relocate, and I threw that one away. Went to look, I said, oh, we want this one, you know. Mm. And so then Benny Hinn's wife and his mother-in-law came over to speak at our ladies' group. You know, Roy Harlan had this 8,000-member church over in Calvary Assembly in Winter Haven.
Yeah.
Winter Park, I mean. And so she was with her, and so I went to lunch with them, and she said, when we came back to the church, my wife and I, she said, now tell me what you're going to do here, because Roy will want to know when I get home, you know. I said, well, we're going to build this and this. She says, if we had it do over again, we'd have relocated. I said, hello, that's three times. And so I prayed about it, and I said, okay, the Lord spoke. And so I went back to the board. I already told them that we need to build here and so forth. And I said, we need to talk about relocating. And I said, okay. And so we found that acreage we have out there, 40 acres.
Out in the middle of nowhere, they used to say.
Oh, yeah.
What's he doing? Nobody's going to go to his church out there.
Oh, and there was Village Green out there then. And Vista Plantation wasn't built. In fact, they bought their property the same time we did.
Uh-huh.
And the guy came on to switch with me. I said, no, the Lord gave us his property. That's where we're going to be. And so that was a lot of money, you know. I went to see old man Graves, you know. They called him old man Graves, and then his son was Billy Graves, and his son was Boo Graves, you know, so three generations. And so Boo worked for his granddad, and he did real estate for him. And so Ralph Powell, who was part of our church, he showed me this 40-acre grove. It was a grapefruit grove. It was defunct. I said, yeah, this is where we need to be. And so I went and talked to old man Graves, and he said, nah, he said, well, Boo said, well, you can talk to him, but he doesn't sell property, he buys it. He was one of the largest grove owners in the world at one time.
Yeah.
And so we went to talk to him, and he said, nah, I don't want to sell anything. He said, but I'll tell you what I do. If you want it, I'll let you have it for $500,000. And 40 acres, $500,000. I said, yeah, we had $50 maybe. And I said, okay, we're interested. And he said, of course, I'll donate $100,000, or, let's see, $70,000. It wound up being $430,000 for the property. And I said, okay, so I'm going to give you 60 days to make up your mind. And then in 60 days, you say you want it, then I'm going to give you 60 days. I want 40% then, and then 60 days I want the balance. I said, no problem. Well, 59 days later, we didn't have but $40,000. 40% would have been $168,000.
So what'd you do?
So I got Ralph and went in there, had our blueprints, going to talk to him, and walked in. He says, I'm not changing my mind. He says, you've got 1 day. And he said, I want $40,000. I said, did you say $40,000? He said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, here's a check. And he said, and I said to Boo, I said, did he say 40%? He said, yeah. I said, well, he took 40,000. He said, I'm shocked. And so he took that, but then we had to come up with the rest of it, you know, 60 days later.
How'd you do that?
Oh, my God. We started, you know, we took it, did a capital gifts campaign. We raised about, you know, maybe $100,000. And then somebody called, you know, let's see, how'd it work? We were getting to the deadline. And so I was up PTL, like took a week and went up there, me and Mavis. And Ralph went for the congregation and made a plea, and he said the bank said, Angelo Sanchez, he was the head of the bank at that time, and he says, we're loaning you half of the money. He says, that's what he said in the beginning. But when I saw him, I said, well, we can't get the rest of the money. He said, all right, if you get people's savings accounts or anything liquid that I can, you know, he said, and you come up with the balance out, I'll take that. I said, okay. So we got on the phone, and everybody was calling everybody, and people put up the money, you know, and Marvin Carter, he was a surveyor, mm-hmm. an old surveyor, you know, from here. He's gone now, but he took his children's, he had never been to our church. He came one Sunday when they asked that. He put up their college funds for that.
Really?
Yeah. And so we had paid everybody back, but, you know, he was putting it up yeah. as a loan. And on that Wednesday, we laid it on the table, and, I mean, there was about 8 bank members there and all, and they said, you ought to write a book about this, because, I mean, it was one miracle after another.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it'd take forever to tell everything, you know, but there was a 15-foot piece in the middle, 1,300 feet long, that belonged to Senator Young in 1926. Because surveyors came this way and stopped here, and surveyors, and there was that no man's land, so it had to go back to him.
Mm.
Well, we had to get all of his descendants to sign a quitclaim deed. And we got it from all of them, but 2 of them, and they wouldn't do it because, and they were Catholic, and John, gosh, what was
John
name?
Dean?
No, he was an attorney. John Gould mm-hmm. Was the attorney. His wife came to our church, but he didn't go to church. He was Catholic, sort of. And, but he, you know, he had the job of finding those descendants. Well, he called one place, and he got hold of this one. Her name was Mills, or Helen Mills.
Yeah.
And he got a hold of it. She said, yeah, I'll sign it. And
really?
So then later, whenever he started to close the deal, we got everybody else. And he called, and she wasn't there anymore. He said, she moved. We don't know where she went.
Hmm.
What? And so we think when she went to Chicago. So he calls. And there were 16. She worked for Lawyer's Title. There were 16 of them there in Chicago. And so he picked one and called it, and she answered the phone.
Yes.
He said, you people are going to have me believe in this stuff. And so we got that together because we couldn't build unless that was taken care of.
Yeah.
We couldn't even subdivide it and build. We had to get that done. You know, or either wait 7 years and then declare it. But we got that done. 3 years after we built it, we had to borrow $1 million to build.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, eternity's holy King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose word brings on the evening. Baruch Adonai, gates open up, with understanding you order the seasons, creating day and night, turning darkness into light, arranging the stars to your pleasing. Baruch Adonai.